Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Andrew, and I'm one of the leaders here at Grace Church. And for the next 15 to 20 minutes or so, I want to explore the significance of the Christmas season and talk a little bit about our theme for the meeting, Prince of Peace, which is one of the titles that was given to Jesus at the announcement of his birth. But before all that, at the time of Christmas, everyone loves a Christmas quiz. So I'm going to put up on the screen the faces of four individuals, each of which is famously associated with Christmas. And we don't need to be all polite here. Call it out if you know who the person is and what their association with Christmas is. Okay, with me? Right, so here's the first one. Okay, a few people have got Macaulay Culkin. And his association with Christmas is Home Alone. The 1990 film Home Alone is the biggest Christmas movie of all time. It had a production cost of around $18 million, which is peanuts, isn't it, in today's money, got $286 million at the box office. Biggest film, biggest Christmas film of all time. It doesn't look like that anymore, of course, but famous child actor. Here's the second one. They get a bit harder as we go along. Bob Geldof, famously associated with Christmas because, do they know it's Christmas? That's right. He was responsible for Band-Aid in 1984, and Band-Aid produced the single, Do They Know It's Christmas, which is the biggest selling Christmas single of all time. There you go, 3.7 million copies sold. My parents have the original LP. Perhaps some of you do as well. It's the second biggest selling single in the UK of all time, as it happens, second only to Elton John's 1997 single following the death of Princess Diana. Right, I said it was going to get harder as we went along. This one's for the real nerds among you. But don't be ashamed. Who's that? Santa. He's just got his beard on the top. Charles Dickens, an excellent guess. No, it's not Charles Dickens. Okay, I need to give you a clue. What have I got here that... Ah, here we are. You can't see me, of course. I'm in darkness. You ready? Practical demonstration. Isaac Newton, exactly. Famously associated with Christmas because... It's his birthday. Yes. That's right. So, on the 25th of December, be sure to wish one another a happy anniversary celebration of Isaac Newton's birthday. 25th of December, 1642, he was born. Last one. Oh. It is Jesus, yes, thank you. So everyone sat there going, who's going to call out the most obvious answer? This is a still, actually, from a 2006 film called The Nativity Story. That's the baby Jesus right there. And, of course, of all the figures, he's most famously associated with Christmas. Christmas comes from Christ Mass. It takes its name from a title given Jesus in the Bible, the title of Christ, which means anointed one. But on the face of things, it would seem strange that Jesus is included in a lineup of famous people at all. This person never led an army. He never held political office. He never wrote a book. He was a person who lived his life in relative poverty. In the latter years of his life, he was without a home. During his adult life, he never left the region where he was born and raised. He was only in the public eye for 3 years, and he died when he was still in his early 30s. And yet, here we are, 2,000 years later, celebrating the news of his birth. He was an extraordinary person who lived an extraordinary life, and the circumstances surrounding his birth are extraordinary. We heard that a little bit earlier. Abby read, didn't she do brilliantly, with the longest reading? Abby was giving us the account of Jesus' birth from Luke's gospel in the Bible. Jesus' birth was heralded with angels. I mean, that kind of thing doesn't happen every day, does it? And I don't know what your view of angels are, but a few days back, I was at the nativity play for my youngest son, and there were angels on the stage, cute girls looking all twinkly and sparkly with long white dresses and big wings on their backs. In the Bible, angels are nothing like that. Nothing like that. They're incredibly powerful spiritual agents who serve in God's royal court and function as his messengers. And typically in the Bible, when someone encounters an angel, they fear for their lives. There's an account of one of the greatest of all the kings that we read about in the Bible, a person called King David, one of the ancestors of Jesus. And he encountered an angel. The angel's feet were planted on the earth, and the angel's head was in the heavens. And David was before this mighty colossus of a being, and David fell down on his face, terrified. Probably had something to do with the fact the angel was holding a sword at the time as well. And here in the account that we heard just a few moments ago, we have this angel appearing to shepherds on the hillside of Bethlehem, and they are terrified. And then to make matters worse, an entire company of angels appears, and what they say is very significant. This is what the shepherds hear the angels say. To you is born this day in the town of David, that's the town of Bethlehem, a Savior. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom God's favor rests. So the message the shepherds hear is, God is sending someone who is a savior, someone who saves, a rescuer, if you like, and the consequence of this person coming is going to be peace. And the theme of peace is also the theme of the first reading that we heard. That was a reading from the prophet Isaiah, which is found in the earlier part of the Bible. It's a reading that dates from around 700 years or so before the time of Christ. And the prophet Isaiah comes with a message. He says, this is what God is saying. There will be a time in the future when a child is born, a son is given, and he will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So Isaiah says, this person's going to come, born as a baby, this great king who's going to establish his kingdom on the earth, and the defining characteristic of that kingdom is peace. It's a theme, peace again. So we've got the promise through the prophet Isaiah, a baby is going to be born, a son is going to be given, a great king is going to establish peace. Then we have the angels appearing to the shepherds, saying in effect, the promise is being fulfilled, the baby has been born, he has come, and he is bringing peace. That's why we're calling this service this afternoon, Prince of Peace, as we explore that theme together. And the word peace that we find in the Bible doesn't just mean an absence of conflict. The concept of peace, as we find it in the Bible, is the word shalom, the Hebrew word shalom, which means completeness or fullness. All things being made right, things being made as they should be, brought back in line with God's intention. So the promise is that this baby born into the world, Jesus, born in this town of Bethlehem, is the one who's going to bring shalom and make all things new as completeness and wholeness breaks in to our world. That's the message of Christmas. We need a bit of peace in our world right now, don't we? Just in the news in the last week, we've heard about conflict in Yemen, conflict in Myanmar. We've had our prime minister, things worked out quite well towards the end of the week, but we had our prime minister engaged in fraught negotiations in Brussels. Closer to home, many of us know tension and strife and relationship challenges. These things are very close to home. I was reading that this season, the Christmas season, is the number one point in the year for relationships to break down. I was reading about research that was carried out by people who surely had something better to be doing with their time. They went on Facebook for a year, and for a year they studied people's Facebook posts and statuses. And they came to the conclusion that December the 11th is the biggest day in the year for couples to split up. December the 11th, that's tomorrow. Aren't you glad you came today? Forewarned is forearmed. This is meant to be a season of goodwill, but many people experience additional strain and stress in their relationships. Which raises the question, if Jesus came 2,000 years ago as the Prince of Peace, the one who was going to bring peace, God shalom, into the world, where is it? Where is this peace? Because we could surely do with some peace right now. Well, to understand the nature of the peace that Jesus brought, it's perhaps helpful to consider an illustration. I have two young sons. They're 5 and they're 8. And from time to time, and obviously this is exceedingly rare, they get into arguments with one another. I mean, it happens so occasionally. But my wife Laura and I, we're downstairs and we hear noise upstairs and we think, oh no, here we go again. And for a few seconds we have that dialogue between us. Oh, why don't you go? No, would you like to go? No, I'm doing this right now. Why don't you go? No, you go, you go. And then, okay, I'll go. And you go upstairs. And one of our sons is there, and this Lego thing that he's been working on all afternoon is dashed to pieces on the floor. And his brother is in the corner looking sheepish. It doesn't take a genius to work out what's happened. So as a parent, you intervene. Right, I'm going to put this right. So, you know, what happened? And you get the two together. You need to say sorry to your brother. You need to help him pick up all the pieces. You need to help him put them all back together. There needs to be reconciliation. You dispense punishment if that's appropriate. Job done. Situation sorted. You go back downstairs. And a few minutes later, you hear a noise upstairs again. You think, what is it this time? You go up. The same blasted Lego model is on the floor again, dashed to pieces. And you think, haven't we dealt with this? And you realize as a parent that to be effective in resolving conflict, it's not enough to firefight conflicts as and when they arise. You need to get behind the conflict, because the conflict is actually a symptom of a deeper underlying problem, an internal problem, a problem of the heart. If you just deal with the surface level conflict, you haven't really dealt with the issue, because the conflict's just going to arise again. It's just going to come up once more. You haven't dealt with the root issue. When Jesus came into this world, he recognized that surface-level conflict, tension, strife, relationship tension, all these things are actually symptoms of a deeper underlying problem, an internal problem, a problem of the human heart. And Jesus recognized the fundamental problem is this, that people are at odds with God. That's what Jesus recognized. That's not the message that a lot of people expected Jesus to talk about. It's not the message that a lot of people thought Jesus should be talking about. Because in Jesus' own day, a lot of his contemporaries said, Jesus, why aren't you talking more about the Romans? The Jews were under Roman occupation. You should be talking about those Roman bullies, Jesus, telling us what we should do about the Romans. And Jesus said, in effect, I know all about the Romans. You know, the Romans aren't your biggest problem. The biggest problem is that people are at odds with God. And because that's the biggest problem, that's the problem, said Jesus, that I have come to deal with. When there's issues in a marriage, it's a symptom of one or both parties being at odds with God. When there's strife within a family home, it's a symptom of one or more parties being at odds with God. When there's conflict at a global scale, it's a symptom of those in positions of power, authority, being at odds with God. And because this is the fundamental issue, the issue that needs to be put right, this is the issue that Jesus, Prince of Peace, came into the world to deal with and attend to. How did he go about it? Well, I've got a couple of volunteers who are primed and ready to come up the front. So can I ask Liam and Prisca to come and join me? They're sat as far away from one another as possible, which fits in beautifully with the illustration that we're about to go into. Liam, this is Liam, this is Prisca. They're a married couple, but let's imagine they've fallen out with one another. They're at odds with one another. Liam, you go over there just a little bit further, a little bit further. Right. Great. This relationship is broken. They need a savior. They need someone to step in and bring reconciliation. Someone who's going to be able to restore what has become broken. Now, if the person doing the saving can only identify with one of these parties, but not both of these parties, that reconciliation work isn't going to work. So let's say I come in and I see things perfectly from Liam's perspective, but I'm completely unable to begin to get my head around what on earth Prisca's going on about over there. I'm not going to be effective at bridging the gap between these two and bringing them together. In the same way, if I start from over here, I get Prisca's perspective completely, but what on earth is Liam over there on about? I can't understand things from his perspective at all. I'm not going to be effective in being able to bring them together. But if I'm able to identify with both, I'm able to stand in the gap between them and bridge the gap between them and bring them together. Okay? That's how reconciliation works. Right, go back to your places. Thank you so much. Now, let's apply this to the relationship between God and people. Jesus said the fundamental problem in this world is that people are at odds with God. So here we've got God reaching out to humanity, longing for relationship with us, longing for us to know his best, his shalom, his completeness, the wholeness that he brings into our lives, every aspect of our lives brought in line with his perfect intention. And here we've got people, human beings, actually turning our own way, doing our own thing. See, being at odds with God doesn't mean necessarily that you're in out-and-out rebellion against God. It just means, God, I'm going to live life my way according to my own agenda, according to my desires and wants, without consideration of what your desire for my life might be, without consideration of what your plan for my life might be. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus uniquely was able to identify with both parties because Jesus came from God, fully divine. He came into the world and he was born as a human baby. But when he was born as a baby, he didn't lay aside his divinity. To his divinity was added humanity. So Jesus was both divine and human, God and man. So Jesus uniquely was able to stand in the gap in order to bridge the gap. How did he do it? Through his death on the cross. Because through Jesus' death on the cross, all of the consequences of our rebellion against God, our apathy towards God, all of the consequences of us not being considerate of the way that God might want us to live our lives, was placed upon Jesus. It was nailed there on the cross with him, and he dealt with it so that we could know the forgiveness of God and come into right relationship with him. Jesus came to bring us peace with God. The relationship between God and humanity was broken. Jesus came to put it right because he recognized this is the root issue. And now, as people who have peace with God, we can know the peace of God breaking into our lives and breaking into this world. Liam and Prisca, thank you so much. You can take your seats. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to put right the relationship that had broken between God and people, between God and you and me. And now, as people who have peace with God, people who are doing life with God, who are in right relationship with God, we can know the peace of God in our lives as God gives us his Spirit and his Spirit works in our lives, changing us from the inside out, so that God's shalom, completeness, wholeness, breaks into our lives, making all things new. One of the writers of the Bible puts it this way, that when we become followers of Jesus, God's Spirit comes and begins working in our lives, so we become people characterized by love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All things are made new as shalom happens to us. As the peace of God, completeness, wholeness, all things being made new, all things being put right, begins to take root in our lives. I'll finish with this thought. If Jesus simply came to show us another way of being religious, I wouldn't be interested. The world has enough religion as it is. But Jesus didn't come to show us another way of being religious. Jesus didn't come with a list of religious rules and regulations. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Jesus came that we might have relationship with God. Fundamental to Christianity is the good news, not of religion, but of relationship. And as people who get to do life with God, we can realize God's perfect intention for our lives, becoming the men and women we were created to be, becoming more fully ourselves, every aspect of our lives coming in line with his perfect intention for our lives so that we flourish. Just as we conclude, see the children are there ready. Just as we conclude, I want to leave you with this challenge. Will you consider the Prince of Peace this Christmas? Will you ponder him? And perhaps off the back of this afternoon, you'd like to take a step and explore further the message that we've been celebrating here this afternoon. And can I direct your attention to this little response slip that you will probably have found in your order of service as you came in this morning. This is a great way of enabling you to respond and take another step, to explore a little bit more about who this Jesus is and what this Jesus came to do. And you see there are various options on there. One of the options is meet up with one of the church leaders over coffee to talk about my questions. I've been assured that the church leader will pay. So for everyone who fills in one of these, it's a free coffee. There's a black box on the back table for you to put the response in at the end, and some will be in touch with you during the week. We'd love to have the opportunity to explore the message of Christmas with you further off the back of this afternoon. Jesus is very worth finding out more about. I'm just going to pray for us, and the band will come and lead us in our next song. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus into the world to deal with the root problem that needed addressing. The problem of people being at odds with God. And thank you that Jesus came. He stood in the gap between God and humanity in order to bridge the gap between God and humanity so that we could know you, so we could receive your love and know your best for our lives and know your shalom breaking in, making all things new. And we pray this Christmas that each and every one of us would place Jesus firmly at the heart of this season. That we be people who are experiencing more of the fullness of life that can be ours because of all that he did for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.